The Adonis Audio Experience. I hate secrets. I truly do. Because honestly, they make me insecure. I hate secrets for the simple fact that I don't feel like I'm included. And honestly, who wants to feel like that? I can remember as a kid, my older brother, he would get close to my cousin and cover his ear with his hand and whisper something into his ear. Psst, 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 psst. As he looked directly at me. Like, what the heck? I want to know. Tell me. Later, I would come to find out that they were just pulling my chain. I mean, they were just clowning with me. But were they really? I can remember when I first heard a secret. I mean, there was a bond. It honestly felt amazing. I can't remember exactly what was said, but I can remember the connection that I felt with that person. And trust was built. It was an amazing experience. Thinking about secrets recently made me reflect on how important secrets really are. I mean, when you know a secret, you feel empowered. When you don't know a secret, you feel a little anxious. And some of us are lucky enough to not even give a shh about a secret. But when a secret is protected, you can build things with it. Companies have you sign non-disclosure agreements before you join their firms, so they can protect you and protect their secrets. And for the most part, I mean, I guess it seems like common sense. You work hard to produce a product or service that will benefit society in some way. That makes sense. But what if that secret is a bad secret? What if that secret, it's something that can hurt you and the people you love? I truly think about that sometimes. Like, if you knew something could hurt others at a large scale, I think that I would do something about it, or at least have the courage to do so. I would also hope that if others were in a position to speak the truth, that they would do so, if it meant helping others. Recently, if you've been watching the news, we had the outbreak of the coronavirus. And I mean, I just have so many questions when it comes to this. First and foremost, where did it come from? Why does something like this even exist? And how do people really get contaminated from a virus that supposedly can only exist in animals? And please don't tell me that people got it from eating bats and raccoons. I mean, there's just so many questions and so few answers. And these are the kind of secrets, to me, that are just bad. I want you to do me a favor. Go to your kitchen sink, look under the cabinet, and get that can of Lysol. Look at the list of bacteria and viruses that it's supposed to help protect you from. Do a deep search. I know it's not easy to read in 4 font and the words all bunched together with no commas or periods, but grab a magnifying glass if you need to. And there it is. Yes, human coronavirus is listed in the back of a Lysol can. I guess it's no secret at all. In watching the news and having conversations with people, I'm still always amazed by the confidence and, I mean, just quite frankly, the arrogance that we have as a nation here in the U.S. You know, people really assume that they can't be contaminated by this virus, that, you know, it's something that's happening internationally, it's something that's happening in China, And though thousands of people are infected, we're still not really scared about this. We think that we could really contain all of it. Although you may feel that you're not directly impacted by this, just hear me out for a second. Think about the fact that we were told that Chinese people got this disease by eating strange meals like bats and wolves from a market that may have contained the pathogen, human coronavirus. Or how about the fact that the local government in Wuhan kept it a secret for weeks and possibly months before they gave the news to the general public about the outbreak? Now, we know for certain that there's probably over 5 million people that have traveled in and out of Wuhan since the outbreak. I'm not saying that they're all infected, but it just means that the numbers that we're looking at, that's being projected by the news and other media outlets, are just not as accurate as we believe. To put this into some perspective, the city of Wuhan has over 11 million residents, and they're part of a province that has over 54 million people. I mean, that's a fast-spreading virus when you think about it. There's maybe 8 to 10,000 people infected that's being reported. But the truth is that these numbers could be in the hundreds of thousands. Cases of coronavirus are popping up all over the world. The World Health Organization has declared a public health emergency of international concern. Cases in Washington, California, and New Mexico have already popped up just here in the States. And just the other day, I read that there's another case in Boston. Internationally, it's in Australia, Canada, Finland, France, Russia, and a dozen other countries. And if you think this doesn't hit close to home, think about it this way. Chinatown in Manhattan has over 100,000 residents alone. You're going to tell me that not one person has had exposure, or people traveling to Beijing or even Wuhan directly? I mean, the chances are pretty high. And what about all the shops that we visit? The spas, hairdressers, nail salons, and stores that we patron every single day. This hits closer to home than you may even realize. So, how do we get here? I always like looking at other things that have happened historically because, you know, if it's happened in the past, it's for certain to happen in the future. So, when you look at the SARS epidemic that happened back in 2003, China was slow to respond when it came to the news of the outbreak. So, basically, this virus just started spreading. I mean, literally, doctors were not reporting the symptoms in the hospitals. It's interesting how that happens, though. When you have an authoritative communist government, people are afraid. They're afraid to speak out. And I know, you figure it's 2020. It's a long time from 2003. Well, the same exact thing happened with the coronavirus, which, when it started spreading, doctors were underreporting, hence creating an outbreak of just global concerns. Ain't that something, though? A virus having the power to affect the world? Then we have things that have happened well before my time, like the Tuskegee experiments in the 30s, 1930s, that is. I mean, you had unethical behavior when it came to government human testing. We were literally testing syphilis in African American communities in Alabama. And for 40 years, we held back the penicillin that could save these people because we wanted to study the progression of the disease. Literally, human guinea pigs. I mean, it makes me sick. More recently, we had the swine flu, which was back in 2009 during the Obama administration. This flu was believed to come from pigs, I guess. The swine flu influenza, the H1N1, is the same strand from the pandemic in 1918, which killed over 50 million people worldwide. In America alone, it killed over 750,000 people. That was a great tragedy. While I was doing some research, I was looking at the Wall Street Journal, and there was a segment in the article that really jumped out to me, and what it read was that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate that so far this winter, at least 140,000 people have been hospitalized with seasonal influenza, with at least 8,200 fatalities. And in their opinion, it's been a fairly mild flu season. So I guess it's no secret at all. The pharmaceutical industry is a big player in the world today. They create the patents for drugs. They create the influence in Washington to pass legislation. One of the big parts that's growing in this industry are vaccines. It wasn't too long ago where it would take a pharmaceutical company years, even decades, to create a vaccine for a flu pandemic or some kind of influenza. With today's technology and research labs, they can become even more efficient, where they can develop a vaccine within days of an outbreak, thanks to the combination of a few things. Technology is more advanced, biomedical labs are expanding, and lastly, and probably what's most important, is their legal responsibility. What do I mean by that? Well, during the Reagan administration, and I know I have a few Reagan Republicans listen to this show, so no offense, but during his administration, we passed a few laws. One in particular was the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. This law eliminated the potential financial liability for vaccine manufacturers, meaning we, as citizens, have zero legal right to sue a manufacturer for injuries related to vaccines. These manufacturers are some of the biggest companies in the world, and they are making billions of dollars in what they call the vaccine renaissance. One coincidence of all is that China is emerging as the largest supplier in the world for vaccines today. Remember that saying, you are what you eat? Well, the same is true when it comes to what you inject in your body. You are what you inject. Vaccines have aluminum in them, and there are studies that link aluminum to Alzheimer's disease. I know you're familiar with that. According to the publichealth.org website, these are some of the ingredients that are in vaccines. Mercury, which is linked to autism. Formaldehyde, yuck. I mean, every time I hear formaldehyde, I just throw up a little bit inside. Which the EPA classifies as a carcinogen. Carcinogens are known to cause cancer. You know what else is a carcinogen? Asbestos, engine exhaust. So literally, you could just shove your face inside an exhaust pipe. What do you got to lose? But what hurts the most are the children. Kids are being required to take up to 50 vaccine shots by the age of 5. If not, they can't go to school. Workers in healthcare are required to take an annual influenza vaccine that doesn't even protect them from any new strands. The pharmaceutical industry is a global giant, especially in the vaccine business. Right now, their global vaccine profits exceed $50 to $60 billion. That's double the profits compared to 2014. And according to the World Health Organization, it should be a $100 billion industry by 2025. Newer and more expensive vaccines are coming to the market faster than ever before. This is a machine. Why is that? Vaccines are not held under the same standards of pharmaceutical medications. Because unlike pharmaceutical drugs, this is biological, which is a technicality that was created. So as long as there's no threats of these companies being held accountable or sued for the vaccines that they make, they could just keep going because they don't have any legal liability. So what ends up happening is that the U.S. has built dozens of biomedical labs which test influenza, HIV, Ebola, and other highly dangerous pathogens. And we're not alone. These are being built in the UK, Russia, and of course, China. So let me get this straight. Your lab has an outbreak. You blame the meat market for spreading a very rare and highly contagious disease that was genetically modified in a lab, which other scientists have looked at this strain and have verified that this version of the coronavirus was genetically modified. Then you, meaning China, keep it under the radar until the disease starts to pop up in major cities. Then the World Health Organization starts sending out warnings on a global scale. Then you quarantine millions of people, and I believe it was about 50 million to be exact. Then, all of a sudden, you have a vaccine for the coronavirus within days of the outbreak. You know what? I was born at night, but not last night. There is no way that all these things add up. I won't even get into the ethics violations of these vaccines. What if I were to tell you that these vaccines come from aborted fetuses? Meaning that we are taking the organs from a live baby to start the manufacturing process for these vaccines. Because a live virus needs live DNA to survive, which is why the process is used. I mean, if you're still listening at this point, you gotta be sick to your stomach. I mean, where's the morality in this? Where are my anti-abortion people kicking and screaming? This goes beyond ethics. It's just inhumane. I'm heartbroken, to be honest. These are secrets that I truly don't want to know. But like my good friend told me, you have to fight. In order to maintain your rights, you have to fight and create awareness and keep pushing forward. It just makes me sick that we can have a system where large companies can be given legal immunity to create multi-billion dollar vaccine empires. Then require the citizens to take these vaccines. They create the diseases. Then they create the outbreak. Then they quarantine the population and force everyone to take these vaccines. And they have zero liability for injury or death. It's time that we wake up, people. And lastly, and I guess it's the part that troubles me the most, is why? Why would we do this to innocent people and children? But I guess I can also ask, why was there slavery? Why was there Hitler? Why did we slaughter American Indians and infect them with diseases? And the truth is, greed and power will always exist. I know. I probably sound a little depressed and bearish on humanity right now. But how else do you explain this? When it comes to powerful people who want control, the new way of control is not a man standing in front of you with an AK-47. No. It's biological. In today's war, it'll be a man with a white coat and a syringe.